Hello.
Hey, this is Barry.
Yes.
Hey, Barry, this is Steve from the Bank of Cardiff. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Good, yeah, of course. I don't know if you remember me, but we spoke back in July a little bit. I don't know if that rings a bell or not. Talk a little bit about how you guys are kind of slow right now. BP oil spilling, you're waiting on the settlement and all that stuff.
Right, still waiting on that, actually.
Are you really?
Yeah. I may wait for eternity for that.
Man, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you guys picked up at all?
No, the company's dormant. It completely destroyed the company.
Oh, my gosh. So, All right. Are you going to...
Yeah.
So, what do you think about doing?
I don't know. While I was waiting for this, I went to Dallas for a year as the CFO of a startup company down there, and I'm in the process of thinking about going into another company now as a CFO and a COO until the CEO retires in the next year.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd probably be the CEO of that company. But you know, the best thing for me to do would be to start my company up again, but I can't capitalize it now.
Yeah.
So
I guess
that's really not an option for me.
Sure. Doing the same kind of work, though?
No, completely different.
Oh, really?
There are a lot of industries I can work in. I've got a lot of experience doing things. Of course, my background is mergers and acquisitions and corporate finance for Morgan Stanley in New York City.
Oh, wow.
So I've got, there are lots of things I can do.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, right on. Cool. If you do become, you know, the CFO or the CEO of those companies, you know, and if you guys ever need any kind of funding or additional funds or anything like that, you know, feel free to reach out to me, or, you know, I can still keep...
They're definitely going to need additional funding. They're going to need a bunch of it, though.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean about $375 million.
That's quite a bit. I don't know if I can pull that, but...
Yeah, it's not insignificant.
Yeah, so those are big companies then, yeah?
Well, they've got about they've got $65 million or so invested right now, and they've got some permitting and some other authorizations to get in place, and then they'll start to build out their
what kind of business is it?
Plant and equipment. It's a mining operation.
Oh, okay. Right on. Mining out of Dallas or down in Texas?
No, it's in Utah.
Oh, Utah? Okay. Mining for what, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's mining. Have you been in Salt Lake?
Yeah, I've been to Salt Lake. I used to live in Colorado, so yeah, I've been all over there.
Okay. Well, in some of these desert areas where Lake Bonneville receded, you know,
uh-huh.
Lake Bonneville covered much of the state of Utah and southern Idaho and a lot of places. When it receded and that water 15,000 years ago, all this desert area around Salt Lake City, all the way past the Salt Flats, which is an hour and it's about 120 miles south, west of Salt Lake City, all that was covered in a big sea called the Bonneville, Lake Bonneville. That receded eventually after an earthquake, and the lake basically dumped out through the Snake River and down through the Columbia Gorge out into the Pacific Ocean. And a lot of these areas, like the Salt Flats and like the Big West Desert, that's 100 miles of desert west of Salt Lake City, is all, these are sea bottoms. And so Morton and Cargill and a lot of other companies extract a lot of minerals from the concentrated salts in the Great Salt Lake. The south end of the Great Salt Lake is about three times as salty as seawater, and the north end is 8 to 9 times as salty as seawater. So there's in that brine, there's all kinds of minerals and stuff, and in addition to sodium chloride, which is just regular salt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a lot of these seabeds that exist that are completely dry, but they have a lot of these different types of minerals in them, some of which include lithium and, you know, they're potash and all kinds of things, vanadium. So some of these companies use gigantic solar pond operations like Cargill and like Mystic Chemicals and like Morton Salt, and they pull hundreds of millions or hundreds of millions of tons of minerals out of the Great Salt Lake and out of these lake bottoms out here. There's also some in Colorado. There's actually one in Colorado, but for the most part, they're here in Utah and a little bit in Nevada, where these big inland seas were thousands of years ago. So this is another company that will do that type of business.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. So that's huge pieces of equipment then, yeah?
Well, there is a lot of earth-moving type equipment, but there are big... These ponds stretch for miles. And what happens is the brine is sent into the ponds, the sun. There's 300 days of sunlight in this area. It's kind of like the Atacama Desert, where there are others of these things, others of these types of solar operations. So the sun dries the water out of this, leaving the mineral on the bottom, and then earth-moving equipment comes in and picks it up, loaders and other types of mineral harvesting equipment. And this stuff is stockpiled, eventually taken over to a gigantic kiln where it's dried out to the point that it needs to be dried out for subsequent use in agricultural products or road salts. This company's not after salt like Morton and Cargill and others. It's after some other things. So anyway, that's how the business works.
That's very interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah,
that's
pretty fascinating.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's really nice. That's really fascinating, actually. I mean, because you're talking a little bit about brine and all that stuff. So, I mean, because I was in the military, so we had to, make our own water, and, we had, brine pumps and things like that, to get rid of the salt and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. That's pretty amazing that they actually thought of coming up with that kind of deal, pulling that out of the earth. I mean, I understand the salt and all that stuff, but yeah, I didn't know there was other things like that, like what you were saying. So it's crazy.
Yeah, if you have a chance, go on Google Earth and just take a look, 25,000 feet around the west side of Great Salt Lake. Let's see, mostly the east side and the north and the south side of the Great Salt Lake. You'll see gigantic operations. And then if you go to Wendover, which is right there, right by the Bonneville Salt Flats, you'll see another gigantic solar operation. And they're all pulling different kinds of minerals out of this, out of the lake bottoms and the brine of the Great Salt Lake. Now, those that are far removed from the Great Salt Lake actually drill wells. They mix the chemical on the bottom of these old seabeds. And then they, once it's mixed into a brine, it's pumped into ponds, and then it goes through this evaporation process until they come up with the final product that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes that has to have further drying, and so it's sent to a big kiln where it's dried out for commercial purposes.
Hmm. Do they ever have to move to a different area when they've extracted all of it from that one certain area?
Well, most of these from the Great Salt Lake, no, because that water is always there. It's going to be there for decades and decades. But in some of these other places, they have minimum life of at least 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So it goes for a long time.
That's a very long time. So you got work forever then, pretty much. Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, if you have a chance to pull up Google Earth, take a look at the Great Salt Lake and look at Cargill, Great Salt Lake Minerals, Morton Salt, they all have facilities out here, and there are many others too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're typically on the south, southwest, and the east side of the Great Salt Lake.
Hmm. Okay, I'll definitely take a look at that. That's very interesting. I mean, that's quite the operation, it sounds like, so.
Oh, yeah. These ponds run for miles. They're gigantic.
How do they claim the land on that? I don't understand.
Most of the land is owned by the state or the federal government. Most of these dry seabeds, because these in the western United States, in especially in the Rockies, these states are 50% owned by the federal government.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, how do, like, Cargill come in and they just, like, they have to pay some kind of tax on, I'm guessing, right? Or some kind of purchase
exactly
of land.
Right. Typically, the Bureau of Land Management manages these lands, and so it's the same thing that would happen if a gold mining operation came in. They'd have to go through all kinds of permitting, which sometimes takes multiple years. And then once they got their permits, and they'd have to assay the value of whatever it is that they're trying to extract, whether it's it's a mine in the mountains or it's a, you know, one of these solar mines or something like that. And once they've got their, they've done all their testing, and they've concluded that there is a marketable and economic proposition with respect to what they want to extract, then they have to get the permits in place, and that can take a year or two with the BLM or with the Forest Service or a combination of different governmental agencies that manage these properties for the feds. And then once that's in place, they've got a bankable project, and they, you know, they layer in the equity and the debt on top of that to create the final financing for the build-out.
That's crazy. Like, you need to plan for all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's something that takes some years. And that's one of the issues with somebody like me working for a company like that, because I'm driven. Mm-hmm. And my background is investment banking, and then I ran a marine construction company where everything's hard bid. And you make things happen very quickly, and you know, our margins were more than double the industry average, and that's because I ran things with high efficiency and was required a lot of the people who worked for the company, but I also paid everybody more than the industry average. So
sure.
Anyway,
very cool.
That's the story.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. I learned a lot, actually. That's pretty cool. All right. Well, yeah, Barry, I hope everything works out for you, man. And if, if you guys ever need anything, you know, if you guys ever need to, like, you know, if you ever need, like, a small kind of loan, like, I know you guys have a lot of capital, I'm sure. But, yeah, I mean, if you guys ever need anything, you know, feel free to reach out to me. And if it's all right with you, I mean, we'll just stay in touch with you and see how things are going for you and everything.
Yeah, well, what I'd really like to do is start up that little marine company, because at the time it got trashed by BP, I just put a whole new asset base in to double or triple its size, and then BP trashed it, and you know that was 6 years ago. So,
and you guys still have not.
So I hope they'll get started. It's a multi-million-dollar settlement, and BP is dragged. They fought through every layer of the courts, all the way to the Supreme Court. And they have, you know, a company that big, if you've got $430 billion in revenue before the price of oil fell, you've got legal departments that are much bigger than well-funded than most companies.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. And you get the big-time lawyers, yeah.
Yep, and I know their lawyers. I worked with them when I did workouts on Wall Street, Chrysler. And I know it's Kirtland and Ellis. I've been in their offices many, many times on the shore of Lake Michigan. It's a good firm.
Yeah.
But they're working for a sleazy client. So
I don't like
being on this side of the equation, I can tell you that.
Sure, who would? Nobody. Yeah, okay. Well, when do you think you're gonna maybe start that up again? As soon as the settlement gets done.
Yeah, I mean, if the settlement happens, then I'll do it immediately. Mm-hmm. If not, you know, I might be locked into a contract for some period of time, helping some other company get started or building another company for a while. So I'll just have to play it by ear.
I gotcha. All right, well, I guess I can just follow up with you then, I guess, in a couple months or
sure.
You know, if if you guys get that, settlement, man, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I think I sent you an email. I don't know if you got my email. It was quite a while ago.
It would not hurt to send it again because I'm not in the company's website or in the email nearly as much as I used to be because it's painful to actually go in there to tell you the truth. So
I understand.
Wouldn't hurt to send it again.
Yeah, sure. Still marineops at divingtacmarine.com.
Yeah, diving-marine.com.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
All righty.
Cool, Barry. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, have a wonderful day, man.
Hey, take care.
Thanks, Barry. Bye.